News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, Greta Thunberg has accused Israel of an illegal act after being deported to France. The climate activist was on board the Gaza aid boat Madeleine, seized in international waters while trying to breach Israel's blockade. So, do actions like this actually make a difference? Does stunt politics have a point, or is it stunts for the sake of stunts? I'm joined by Brendan O'Neill, chief political writer at Spiked and writer for The Spectator, and Emma D'Souza, writer and political commentator. Thank you both for joining us on News Talk Breakfast. Brendan, we'll start with you. You don't believe these gestures make an impact?
I think they make an impact for the individual's careers. I think it helps to rebuild their moral brand. I think that's probably what the people on that boat were really intending to do. They were trying to raise awareness about their own moral brilliance rather than about what's happening in Gaza. And, you know, let's get the facts straight. In the 7 days that Greta and her friends were on that stupid boat, taking selfies and giving interviews to every media channel that would listen to them, Israel handed out 10 million meals to people in Gaza. So Greta does moral pantomime and gets cheered to the rafters by the media classes. Israel feeds hungry people in Gaza and gets referred to as genocidal and a lunatic. It's a complete inversion of truth and morality.
Emma D'Souza, what about that? This was more about their own personal brand than actually doing anything for the people of Gaza.
Well, Shane, first off, this act was rendered symbolic only because of Israel's illegal interception in international waters. This was a civilian vessel carrying baby formula, medical supplies, food for people in Gaza. Israel declared the Madeleine a security threat. Just how is a civilian vessel with unarmed civilians a security threat to Israel, who are trying to give medical supplies, baby formula and food to people in Gaza? So the Madeleine, it has succeeded in that we are talking about it. And this kind of act is important because it makes us all witnesses. It makes us question why this blockade is being continued, why it is being allowed. Why is it that activists and citizens are the ones who are having to put themselves at risk to try and bring this to the agenda and force a break to the siege? And there's no question, Shane, that those activists did put themselves at risk, because it was only last month that a previous flotilla was actually attacked by two armed drones, and people did sustain injuries in that incident. In 2018, a previous flotilla was also boarded illegally in international waters. 30 activists were arrested. They were tasered. They were beaten by the IDF. In 2010, 10 people were killed when Israeli commandos boarded in international waters another flotilla. So there is a history of violence.
Yeah, just for Brendan, to bring you in on that, Brendan, because the point of it being, I suppose, when you're saying this is all about people just making a name for themselves, but there is a case that it had to be well-known names on this particular boat because of the instances that Emma's just mentioned there.
Well, you know, well-known names, celebrities, I don't really care what these people think, but what I do care about is the twisted narrative we're being presented with about the conflict in the Middle East, a conflict that all of us wants to come to an end, that I hope that goes without saying. But, you know, Emma asks why there is a blockade in Gaza or why things are happening in Gaza. It's because an army of anti-Semites called Hamas invaded Israel on the 7th of October 2023 and carried out the worst mass murder of Jews since the Nazis. Now, what do people propose Israel does in response to that? Nothing. Sit back on its hands, say, okay, that's fine. Killing Jews is no big deal. Do it again if you want to. People have no answer to that question. Unless
but this, the sea blockade wasn't just after this, though. That sea blockade has been in place in 2007.
But that's because the blockade is there because Hamas refuses to surrender, refuses to return the hostages, refuses to stop this war that it started. And Israel is continuing to fight the war because it believes it has a right to protect its largely Jewish population from these anti-Semitic terrorists. And when you have someone like Greta Thunberg referring to herself as a kidnap victim, listen, Greta wasn't kidnapped by Israel. Shiri Bibas was kidnapped by Hamas with her two young children, a four-year-old and a nine-month-old. And then they were butchered. And Greta Thunberg, when she was in Israel, refused to watch the footage of those atrocities. She turned away from the footage of Hamas's atrocities. We used to wonder how people could turn away from the murder of Jews in the 1930s. Now we know, because it's happening right again under our noses.
Emma, just bringing you in on that, I suppose the language they have used about kidnap, not the best, is it, given what we've seen in the last 6 months? Real kidnappings that have led to deaths. I mean, they were taken off the boat and given sandwiches.
I mean, there are kidnappings happening in Palestine right now where innocent citizens are being corralled and put into Israel prisons. I think, look, Shane, I need to challenge some of those points there, because at the end of the day, we're talking there about footage. We are all witnessing ourselves every single day the most horrific footage that is coming out of Gaza. I don't know how I can even articulate the horror of watching video footage of children being burned alive. Let's talk here about the actual facts on the ground. More than 50,000 children have been killed or injured in Gaza. UN Women has said that more than 28,000 women and girls have been killed in Gaza. More than 400 aid workers, over 1,000 health workers, over 200 journalists. All of these people are supposed to be protected under international law. And every single international law, convention, rules of war are being thrown out the window and flouted by Israel, seemingly with impunity. And that's why it is now falling to regular citizens and activists to try and mobilize and try to force some kind of change, because we are watching a live stream Gaza right on our screens. We're seeing it every day on our social media. And I think that has a real impact on us, on humanity. It is horrific that this is being allowed to continue. And I have to pick up there about the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. Let's not forget that Israel has openly said that it is letting in the bare minimum of food so as to prevent the world from accusing it of war crimes. We have Israel's finance minister actually saying it's moral and just to starve 2 million people. This is collective punishment of a civilian population. You cannot do that in war. Wars have rules. Israel also has to adhere to those rules.
Yeah, Brendan, to that point, I mean, you said, I think, was it 10 million meals that you quoted the figure of, but that did come after a total blockade that had starved aid going in for a number of months.
But, you know, this, what I find so alarming, I have to say that there is something about Ireland at the moment. I've just come back from Ireland. I go there a lot. My family's from Ireland, of course. The Irish middle classes seem to be consumed by hatred for Israel. And I find it incredibly interesting and actually incredibly worrying. And if you look at, for example, what's happened in Sudan over the past 2 years, at the exact same time that these horrors are happening in Gaza, vastly more people have died in the war in Sudan. Children under the age of five have starved to death in their thousands because aid is not getting through. Greta's boat passed a refugee boat of people from Sudan trying to get to Europe. They just sailed right on by. That is so symbolic of what's going on here, where real tragedies around the world that are worse than what's happening in Gaza are being ignored by the opinion-forming classes in the West while everyone's obsessing over what Israel does. And I'm afraid that when Israelis think that it's a case of no Jews, no news, I think they have a point.
Emma, final word on that?
I'm sorry, Brendan's saying that what's happening in Sudan and other places is okay then. Well, people are being starved and killed in Sudan, so it should be okay for that to happen in Gaza. I think that's a morally reprehensible comment.
Not. I'm saying that you're not talking about.
So I think that the point here I just
Sudan,
want to close on
like
is that, as I said, Israel has to adhere to international law. This is not an opinion. This is the fact that international law applies equally to everyone, and we are seeing it flouted by Israel. We have to find a way to break the siege. I think that there needs to be a realization that 100% of the people in Gaza are at risk of famine. That is coming from the UN. It is the only territory and country in the world where 100% of the population is at risk of famine.
Emma D'Souza, writer and political commentator, and before that, Brendan O'Neill, chief political writer at Spiked and writer for The Spectator. Thanks for joining us on Newstalk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.